flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so bad at this.
It's all right. We have music and everything.
Man, Alec.
Start over, dude.
I'm so bad at this.
Yeah, dump it all.
I worked so hard on that.
You're doing great. Alec, are we going to do the same thing again at noon? Because they say third time's the charm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This time, I'm just really excited because Eric Chiafalo is joining the
Makes
show.
Makes sense.
What's up, boys?
What's up, man?
We just got Gracie Hunt, who may only be on our show in CNBC today. So good job by Corey for making that happen.
Nice.
I assume she went to SMU the way that she talked about Shane going to SMU.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, she is based out of Dallas. That was actually, Mike, because you said, hey, start there. When I walked up and asked her, I was like, she goes, what would you like to talk about? And I said, are you from DFW? And she said, I'm based in Dallas. And I said, that's where we'll start then. And so you gave me the right answer
Boom.
To the questions.
You know what? Since you're on a question roll, before we get to more football questions with
like
Eric.
Paper towel roll.
What question would you like to ask Mr. Chiafalo first?
Chiafalo,
hi, Mike.
Do you own jeans or slacks?
Are you questioning my sweatpants attire right now?
Did you wear that color because you're like they could be slacks?
You've always
it's like they give you that weird
they're brownish.
Yeah, that weird feeling that maybe this person is having enough self respect to wear some nice pants here in a work environment. But no, and it's a little sweatier than I was anticipating. Just like the humidity
outside
factor.
New Orleans, baby.
Yeah,
it's gonna be sticky all week.
It's
get ready.
A little sticky. The pits are real. So I got a mobile. I do have in my bag deodorant. Did you guys do the deodorant in the bag thing for the reapply?
Mm-mm, I didn't think about that.
I'm sorry, it's at the hotel.
I wear very breathable shirts.
There you go.
Get some linen, maybe. Yeah, you rock that way.
No jeans for me personally. I do have like a nicer pair of like crossover kind of pants that I brought for the media party. So if we don't just go right from Radio Road tonight.
Sorry. What are crossover pants?
I don't know exactly. Like they're definitely not jeans, but I can't go as far as to say they're slacks.
They're like Colby's sweatpant jeans. You know, they looked like jeans, but they were actually sweatpants.
Yes,
they look like jeans. Oh,
they're comfortable. You know, the flexion's good if you need to get like you know, if you got to squat down for any reason,
squat's
you don't
important.
Have to fear for the tear or anything like that. So durability factor.
Huh. I like your shirt though. That's a cool Stella Artois.
Did you guys get yours?
I thought
we were all going to be matching today.
Yes.
I thought literally we were all going to be matching
My
today.
Apologies. I forgot. But that's amazing beer. You know what?
Such a good beer.
One of the best I've ever had.
Where is it from?
Right
because
here.
Why is it spelled Artois, but it's said Artois?
I feel like I should know that. I'm sorry.
Isn't that like a French thing?
I do not.
It is brewed in Stella Artois, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Like I said. It's a French thing.
Now, where Nelly's from.
Let's keep asking questions. Do you think going into the Super Bowl, both of these kickers are up to the task? Or do you think one of them will be a big deciding factor in the narrative of who wins or loses this game?
I do think that the environment that you're in, being in a dome, that's going to help you.
For sure.
That's always – you never know how the pressure is going to set in on somebody. And I think we've seen Butker get through a lot of this stuff relatively unscathed.
Yep.
So I would have more confidence in him. But Elliott's been pretty good. But when you get
except
him in
for 50 yards.
Right.
Yeah.
The distance factor and the outdoor factor, I think being inside makes that a little less of a concern.
Yep.
But, I think this is going to be a close enough game to where that's the kind of stuff that's going to matter.
And, Mike, didn't you just point out the other day, you were like, it's never easy for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It's always a tough
game. I forgot.
Game.
I was watching, like, ESPN or something, and they're just going over all of their Super Bowls. And the only one that wasn't close was when they got blown out 31-6 at Tampa against Tampa. And that obviously had to do a lot with their offensive line just being completely destroyed going into the game. But they've won all the other Super Bowls, but they're always close. They come down to either overtime or a last-second field goal. Like, they are not winning these Super Bowls easily.
It kind of feels like early Patriots because they won all three of their first chunk of Super Bowls by 3 points.
Yeah, yeah, just nail-biters, and that's sort of their identity. Whatever the game calls for, they're prepared for. If this is a slugfest,
that's a great way to put it.
Like 20-17 game, they know how to play that. If it's 2 years ago Super Bowl and it's 38-35, they understand how to play that way as well. But it is interesting that you don't see them like the great teams where they're blowing teams out left and right. That you don't see that.
Are they the all-terrain tires of football?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I would say like Michelin, right?
Yeah.
Because you have your Michelin star for restaurants and your Michelin tire.
But those are not related, correct?
I think they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've never had dinner at a tire shop?
Yeah, once. I'll tell you that story off air.
That's an off air.
That show tires. Yeah. Yeah, that was that one.
All right.
Type in if you know if the Michelin tires are the same people who rate restaurants.
They're not. I'm sorry.
It feels
I just hopped
unlikely.
In on this, but they're not.
Okay.
Somebody was telling me that Eric would let me borrow his deodorant, and so we could be Dio Bros. And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. So,
okay.
But I hopped in on the last part of the conversation just to confirm. No. Two different Michelins.
We talked about Saquon earlier, so I want to focus on the other aspect of the skill positions for Philadelphia. Do you believe that their wide receivers and quarterback can carry them to victory? So, like Devontae Smith, for example, A.J. Brown, he's never had a 100-yard receiving game in the playoffs with the Eagles. He has 2 touchdowns and 6 playoff starts. So, A.J. Brown, really good. Devontae Smith, really, really good. Devontae Smith is, oh my God, do you have a real answer? I really want to know the answer to this.
Holy crap.
I thought it was right.
No way, Mike.
It's the same?
Yes, baby. Michelin, the tire company, rates restaurants using a star system. The Michelin Guide awards 1, 2, or 3 stars to restaurants. Why did Michelin start the guide? The Michelin brothers, Andre and Ed Wuad, started the Michelin Guide in 1990 to encourage travel and tourism. So they were like, hey, go use your tires, you dummies.
When I was in Italy, wow. I saw like the Michelin man guy, and I thought, so I just recently
that
learned this.
Amazing.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I can prove this because I'm pretty sure I saw the Michelin man outside of a Michelin star restaurant, like just the logo.
What a varied company. So then you have Devontae Smith. He hasn't had more than 55 yards receiving in the postseason this year. Do you believe that the QB and the wide receivers can get it done if called for?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. I mean, the wide receivers, they're really awesome players. Jalen Hurts is a limited passer, and especially versus a Steve Spagnuolo defense and a Trent McDuffie locking dudes down. They have Jalen Watson back, which is huge for that secondary.
Great safeties there, too.
And he's been awesome since his return. So, no, I think it'll be very challenging for the Eagles to put up points if say the Chiefs are able to just totally shut down Saquon.
Yeah.
I don't know that you'll consistently be able to for 4 quarters lean on the passing attack. And it's really a Jalen Hurts factor. And I'll throw out there a Kellen Moore factor.
Yeah.
How many times we talked about their route concepts are a joke. Like the Packers were running the receivers' routes for them in that game. The Eagles of course end up winning that game, but they have not proven that they can consistently, especially against top-tier defense like what you're about to see in this particular game, I don't think you're going to see Jalen Hurts with his arm do enough.
I also throw out the fact that the Chiefs aren't going to put them in short fields, so I do think that they're going to have bigger yards. I think they're going to have 85, 95 yards between those two receivers.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to be in long fields. So it might not be that big. You know, we've seen them make some big plays downfield to Smith and to A.J. Brown. This might be a little more short passing game to combat that in order to get over the top of Spagnuolo, who's not going to give them any chances,
right,
but to try to get over the top. But they're going to force them long fields because Mahomes is good enough to get them to the 50. And if they can't kick it with Butker,
yeah,
then they're going to say, we'll punt you into the 5-yard line.
Can Philadelphia outperform Kansas City in the stretch? Because y'all were talking about how a lot of these games go down to the end. This is amazing to me. Patrick Mahomes has had 7 drives in his playoff career in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime with a chance to tie or go ahead. He is 7-for-7 at scoring points. That is insane. And it maybe this game won't come down to the end, but if it does, do you feel like Philly can hang in that instance?
I mean, you always know what you're going to get out of Pat Mahomes. You know when the game's on the line,
yeah.
they are going to do what is necessary. He strikes fear into you much more than Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense strike fear into you if they have the ball with a minute left and they got to go the distance.
He's right. I'm very interested because we saw it play out in the game with Buffalo. I'm very interested how teams look at the final 5 minutes of a game. Because they know we can't give Mahomes the ball.
Right.
Like I feel like every team, if they have 5 minutes, 4 minutes left, they're going, how do we milk this thing?
13 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. How do we milk this thing just enough so he doesn't get the ball back no matter what? We can't leave any time. And so I feel like a lot of teams are calling their games differently because of the fear of that. And so I feel like that might be a thing for Philadelphia where they're like, all right, we got to figure out how to not get the ball back in his hands, and they might end up screwing themselves over.
But it's both sides, the clutch factor on both sides of the ball for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like the Bills did what you were supposed to do in the last game,
yeah.
where you hold them to three.
Yeah,
that's the best case scenario. You're not expecting that you're going to keep them off the scoreboard, but they did realistically the best thing you could possibly do. And then what happened? The Chiefs defense,
Eric. I texted Kevin when they held him to the field goal, when they got the big sack on Mahomes, and it was like Buffalo's going to win this game.
This is their chance.
Because they got the ball to Josh Allen with the game on the line, and they can do this and then not leave. I get he did the 13-second thing one time, Patrick Mahomes, but they're going to not leave these guys enough time to come back, and then the Chiefs' defense stepped up.
Yeah. I mean, between Mahomes offensively and Andy Reid, and then Chris Jones and Steve Spagnuolo, they have two players on each side of the ball that are at their best in the biggest moments. And then you have two play callers on both sides of the ball that are always ready, and they always have something that the other side of the ball hasn't seen before, and it's the dagger moment, and they're ready for it.
Are you okay?
No, yeah.
Does that frustrate you?
No. It doesn't frustrate me. I see some texts were like, yeah, but Philly can get out to a big lead. And I'm like, well, that's a whole different thing because guess what? Having a big lead against Kansas City in the Super Bowl means pretty much nothing with Patrick Mahomes in tow. But we'll probably have to get to that another day.
Can you imagine if that does happen, though, and then Patrick Mahomes is down by 14? Like, it's 24-10 at halftime, and they end up winning the game 41-38 or something.
That will crystallize what I think is the most unbelievable run in football in the history of the NFL. Eric, thank you very much for jumping on with us. Coming up next,
thank you guys.
We're going to have another packed segment. We're going to do a mini AM on the FM, plus senior ESPN writer and NBA insider Ramona Shelburne next, right here live from New Orleans in Media Row on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Media Row in New Orleans, and right now we bring to you senior ESPN writer, NBA insider. It is Ramona Shelburne. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Still a little shook.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
Hurt right now, Ramona.
It's been less than 48 hours, so we're still making it. And I'm sure for you, this is, you know, it's always a busy time, especially around the trade deadline. But we're not crazy in thinking this trade is different than most any trade deadline ever, right?
No, you're not crazy. This was a wild one. Like, I think, you know, I was on Around the Horn yesterday with Tim Kalishaw, and he held up the Dallas Morning News. It was like, he was ours.
Yes.
I get it. I mean, look, the only way they could have traded Luka Doncic is by keeping it completely secret, because I think everybody involved knew that if you even breathe a word of trading Luka Doncic, people are going to freak out. Like, they're going to yell and scream and cry and, what are they doing? There's like a memorial for him outside the stadium, right? I mean, they're here.
Yes.
And so, like, even if the idea of trading him, even if that idea of trading him even got out, I don't think it would have happened.
I knew it was a big deal. You mentioned the newspaper. I knew it was a big deal because my mom texted me and said, hey, I got a copy of the newspaper in case you need it for the future. And I was like, hey, yeah, mom, let's go. Yeah, So when you talk about that, he was ours. Now, we can dip back into that, and I definitely want to, but what is to go in the next 48 hours? Because we've still got Jimmy Butler. I know there's been rumblings about maybe Kevin Durant. There's always rumblings about the Warriors. Is Dallas going to do something else? The Lakers have no bigs. Like, what are we anticipating in the next 48 hours or so?
So I think the Lakers are going to try to get a big. Now it's just going to be the what quality of big are they going to get, right? You know, are they going to do somebody who makes, you know, is kind of a backup right now? Like the Suns did a minor deal for Nick Richards a couple weeks ago. He's actually been really good for them. You know, he was the backup center in Charlotte, right? Are they going to get something like that where somebody who's not really playing in a spot where they are? Or are they going to take a big swing and go after a Miles Turner or, you know, somebody who's you know, if they do Walker Kessler, obviously that's going to be a big deal. He's not a big name, but he's a really good player, and he's young, and I think he would command a lot. So I think there's I think the Lakers obviously need someone to replace Anthony Davis, but the Mavericks, I think, are probably more in the buyout market. They need another ball handler. You know, you had one of the greatest ball handlers of all time.
You don't have to laugh at us about that.
It's like you're rubbing it in a little bit.
It's hard to digest, right? But I think they'll get something like look at somebody like a Lonzo Ball, maybe, where if they can't find a trade for him, he might get bought out in Chicago. He'd be a really good fit there in Dallas. He makes too much money to be traded right now, right? Guys who make $20 million, it's hard to find a salary to match that. I think the Mavericks will do something more like that. So they're not done, but Jimmy's the guy that I think we're all watching. Obviously, Kevin Durant, I still am not convinced that they're going to trade him. He hasn't asked for a trade, and the only reason to move him is if you think he might either ask for a trade or not re-sign there. But I would say that's unlikely just because, you know, the owner there took such a big swing to get him in the first place. And so, you know, look, there's some other really big dominoes that could fall, but there's nothing like this Luka Doncic trade. That's the only trade that I can remember that was as stunning and shocking was probably the Chris Paul trade in 2011 after the lockout. Remember when he got traded to the Lakers and then David Stern vetoed it? And there was this whole drawn out saga. Like, you know, I guess it had sort of gotten out that he had asked for a trade in New Orleans, but it wasn't as widely known as it is now in social media, right? I think it was a quiet ask. And so I think, like this one, I got to be honest, guys. Like, I've never seen a superstar at Luka's age be in his prime, you know, with as good of a relationship as he had with a fan base, like traded like this.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts to us as well. The other thing, though, Nico Harrison didn't make any friends amongst his cohorts by doing this the way that he did it, did he?
No, but like, that's the only way he could have done it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that, look, he's not dumb. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he was going to get killed. Like, you have to know that when you're going to do this trade, and you have to believe in this so much that you're willing to get killed. Do you see that? You know what I mean? Like I give people credit when the Kings, when they fired Mike Brown, no one did a press conference. And I was like, look, you know, what's the opening scene of Game of Thrones? You guys watch that show?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember the opening scene of the first episode where, like, somebody says, like, if you're the king and you're going to, you know, cut someone's head off, you do it yourself. You don't get somebody else to do it for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, if you're, I respect people who put their name on it, who like Nico Harrison knew that train might go down on Saturday, and he flew from Dallas to Cleveland knowing, like, I better be there. I better be there to stand up and, you know, answer for this. You may not like my answers. You know, I think it was a little bit of an uncomfortable press conference, right? Like, you know, but at least he put his name in his face. He wore it, you know, like that takes a lot of guts to one, swing your sword like that. And two, stand up there and answer for it. And then three, say, look, we're not going to know if I'm right for years.
Well,
like, there's no exoneration coming. And I guess maybe they could win this year with AD and Kyrie and stuff. I actually think they're going to be a damn good team. AD's really good, guys. Like, I watch him a lot because I live in Los Angeles, and when he's healthy, and up until this abdominal injury, he had played in 41 of 44 games this year. Like, he's been much more available this year. And the guy who knows him best is Jason Kidd, because he was here when they won a championship in 2020. He was the associate head coach. And so, like, AD is a monster defensively, and he was having his best offensive season in a long time. So I think, like, people are kind of missing that part of this trade. Like, you know, I heard Bill Simmons the other day on his podcast talking about that, and he's absolutely right. Like, if you're Nico and you, I don't think Jake Hitt was directly involved in saying, are we going to trade Luka? But I think they talk enough that they were aligned in how they felt about, you know, the Supermax going forward, et cetera. And I think if you're Nico and you say, all right, if we're going to have to pick our trade and our trade partner, and that's it. If we can't shop him, we can't call seven people, because that'll get out. That'll get back to Luka. Then you poison your relationship with the guy. Your fans, you know, understandably are going to be mad. And it's kind of, you know, if you do that, it's not going to happen. And so you have to pick your trade. You have to pick the star you're going to get back. Okay. So if you call San Antonio for Wendy, they're going to say no. If you call Milwaukee for Giannis, they're probably saying no. Denver for Jokic. So what level of star and what kind of star could you call to get back? And if you're looking to upgrade your defense, I mean, I would name the targets I would name. If you're saying I want a defensive-minded big man, I would probably call Milwaukee against for Giannis, because obviously there's a history with Jay Kidd. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're ready to move him. You know, I don't think they will ever want to move him, but that's worth a call because of his contract situation and his age. I would probably call Miami about Bam Adebayo. I'd call LA about AD. But who else would you put in this category that you'd even call and say, this is our target that's good enough to call at this level? I don't know. I mean, maybe Banchero in Orlando. He's not a defensive-minded big man, but he's of this caliber of players. But, you know, I know what people are saying. You know, I don't think Boston's moving Jaylen Brown right now. That's too early to call on him. And so even though it's a stunning, crazy trade, even the idea of trading Luka is hard to wrap your head around. I'm still not there, okay? You guys will probably never be there. I think they actually, like, AD is going to be good for them.
Well, using the Game of Thrones analogy, I'm still at the end of season one, episode 9, and where Ned got his head cut off. That's where I'm feeling right now. Yeah. I hope that makes sense.
Like, when you swing your sword, you also know somebody might swing their sword on you, you know? And like that's the Game of Thrones. And like I kind of admire somebody with guts like that. That's why you don't see trades like this very often, because mostly. Nobody has guts like this. Nobody wants to take a risk this big. It's if it works out, it's going to take years for people to credit you. If it doesn't work out, you're probably getting fired.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so very few people have the guts to do that in this world, and we'll see if he's right. I'm sorry you guys have to live through this period where you have to see if he's right.
Thank you.
You know, if you're looking, you know, because I know what that is for a fan base. I know. It's like, That's like, I was here in Los Angeles when the Dodgers traded, like, Mike Piazza. I remember when Fox bought the Dodgers, and they traded away all of their popular, good, young players, and everybody in L.A. was just, like, really upset, and we just got so mad at the ownership. Wow, did you trade Mike Piazza? Like, oh, he was the guy, right? And I was like, I get it. I lived through that as a kid, you know? Like, I just feel like all the little kids wearing 77 jerseys. I was there last year at the finals. Everybody's wearing 77 jerseys. Like, it's a tough time to be a Mavs fan. But he's a basketball guy. He's had a front row seat for some of the greatest players in NBA history. And for whatever reason, Tim McMahon and I wrote a whole long story. They don't believe in the long term viability of Luka. They just, like, clearly they don't think he's the same as those guys.
Well, Ramona, thank you so much for the time and all the information. We really appreciate it.
And, Ramona, you can enjoy your $540 million baseball team this year.
You know what, though? Like, here's what I'll say about the Dodgers. Look, those guys, the Guggenheim guys, they made their money in insurance. What does insurance do? they defer money. Like, they pay, mm-hmm. you put a little in the pot for now, and you pay it off later over time. Like, you let the market grow it. Like, it's actually, like, if you can learn from that business model, it's pretty interesting. Like, I feel like more, I feel like they got ahead of something, and now everyone's going to do it.
Oh, we're jealous of the business model, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm jealous. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, Ramona Shelburne right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I think coming up at noon.
She's very flippant about her emotions, Kevin.
But I think she gets it.
No, she does.
But I think at noon I do kind of want to dive into, like, the basketball aspects
okay.
of AD and Max Christie. And you
Heck
just
yeah.
brought it up. I know Anthony Davis is out. Is it tonight?
Yeah, he's out tonight.
But he could be
Big
back.
Game. Who are they playing?
He could be back for Boston or Houston.
Houston.
So that's what he's saying right now.
Okay.
That's
which
exciting.
Which is kind of the same schedule that Luka was on for his return, and apparently the Lakers presser is happening. And
Luka said he's going to take the high road, but he also said it's a huge motivation that people are talking about his weight.
Well, and, like, supposedly people have been flooding us with reactions to that. It's like he might have been rolling his eyes when Nico got brought up. Another person said he looks crushingly sad this press conference. So there's a lot of stuff
he doesn't hate where he is. He just hates the way that it happened.
Yeah.
Like, and I totally get that.
Maybe he hasn't had lunch yet.
God. I know I feel better after eating part
yeah,
of that sandwich.
Yeah, think about how upset we are when we're hungry.
Yeah, dude, after school, Lucy is terrible until she gets a snack.
So this is like a Snickers commercial?
Yeah.
And they just give him a Snickers, and he's like, you know what? We're going to win a damn championship.
He's a little bitty Joe Pesci running around punching everybody.
All right, so thank
arguing
you.
Arguing with refs.
Thank you very much, Ramona Shelburne. Unfortunately, we did have to cut off even our mini AM on the FM. We
Sorry,
will figure
Alex.
Out another time.
Always next year.
To get, I mean, Jeez. Or tomorrow. Coming up next.
Maybe there's not a next year.
It's time for Gridiron Gravy. Another big-time player folks think the Cowboys will somehow trade for is on the market. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Here comes Kupp in motion to balance it out 2x2. Stafford has a snap, four-man rush, pressure in his face, goes out the left side, ducks the rush, flips to the end zone, caught! Caught! Cooper Kupp!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Radio Row in New Orleans, courtesy of Stella Artois. You already saw Eric rocking that shirt. I know some of us have got hats out here as well. Thank you to them, the Low T Center, and of course Best Buy Windows and Siding for making all of this happen. And right now, what say we go? I wanted to make it dramatic.
Okay,
the Super Bowl.
I was like, what happened?
Mike looked right up at me. I wanted to make it dramatic.
Did he just lose his breath?
No. I just wanted to make it dramatic. Right now. Let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go! Next year, Dak Prescott. That's what you're going to be hearing for Super Bowl Sunday.
Is he going to be a commentator?
Comeback
or?
Player of the Year.
Okay.
MVP.
Okay.
They're going to call him Mr. All In.
Well, we played. That doesn't help. That makes me feel much worse.
Okay.
So
Shoddy's leading the crew, man.
I love, you know what? I like the confidence that you have in this team. I choose to believe that is not sarcasm. So Cooper Kupp went ahead and said, hey, the Rams are looking to trade me, and they're looking to trade me immediately.
Ooh.
And he said, I don't agree with this decision, and I always believed I was going to begin and end in L.A.
Corey, I got a trade for you.
Okay.
If you're losing a Cooper, get back a Cooper. Cooper Rush.
D.B. Cooper.
For Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Rush, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great trade.
Cowboys keep a Cooper. Rams keep a Cooper, and we're good to go.
Problem is, Cooper Rush is the one we use whenever our quarterback gets hurt.
Luckily, he's not getting hurt anymore.
And he's under contract.
I heard what Dak's supposed to do is squeeze Ed Warder's shoulder because he's so strong.
But who do we use whenever Cooper Kupp gets hurt? Because that's, like, he is perennially hurt.
Well,
that's what he happens.
For the record, Cooper Kupp, yeah. That's a great question. And unless he redoes his salary, you're on the hook for $20 million and I think $18.75 million the next year. So for people who are curious, I'll just kind of go back to the same way I feel about Myles Garrett. Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
For the Cowboys. It'll happen to somebody.
Yeah, and listen, man, he is a guy who his history is, I am
Right?
a running back receiver. I am used as a running back. They give me touches, as a part of their run game. And Sean McVay knows how to use him. And, Mike, you've been very adamant about your love for Sean McVay. I don't know the Cowboys would know exactly how to use him. Like, I just don't. Schottenheimer, I guess I got to give him a clean slate, but my history with the Cowboys has been you don't know how to use functional pieces like that.
Here's what I don't know. I'm sorry for not knowing this. Maybe you guys know better than I do. How much does Cooper Kupp play in the slot versus – I know they do a lot of motion. They do a lot of different things in L.A., which makes it
very –
Are you
worried that him and CeeDee will take up the same space?
No, I know he's not coming to the Dallas Cowboys. But to your point of McVay, if you trade for a Cooper Kupp, can you get the most out of him the way that McVay got the most out of him when he was healthy?
Yeah, that's the thing, Mike, is – just like Bochy, just like every great offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, you got to know your talent, what they can do, and how to maximize it. And if you don't know how to do that, you're not successful in this league.
And for the people that are saying just trade Dak and someone else for Myles Garrett, I mean, look, Dak has a no-trade in his contract. I don't know if that would work, and that doesn't save you as much salary cap space as you think. It saves you some, for sure, but you still have a big old bill coming to you. All right.
Buffalo Bill.
Yes, Buffalo Bill. Let's go from that to, remember yesterday I told you Mike Evans was like, yeah, I want to do flag football because it's going to be in the Olympics. Roger Goodell has said that the NFL could start a professional flag football league.
Heck yeah, they could.
Okay, two questions. Would you watch it? And second, serious question, would it be significantly more popular than the UFL?
So I watched, help me out here, this was 5 years ago. I think it was before COVID. That's why I always think of COVID 2020,
okay, yeah.
And I think it was before. They had like a professional team take on the best flag football team, and it was like for $1 million or something, because I remember I remember Jeff Kavanaugh talking about it, because he was like, maybe I should get into this.
He's awesome at flag football.
He probably was. He can't barely walk anymore.
Oh,
I love him, but I don't think he's dying physically the way I feel like Luke is gonna die.
Oh my gosh.
Fast trajectory. Yeah,
love
yeah.
you, Jeff.
Is I feel like I was very intrigued by that. It was like on NFL Network, and I believe it had some decent sponsors in it, but it died after 1 year because they're like, we can't financially support this. We actually gave out too much money. We didn't get the advertising we wanted to get. All these things that they thought they could do for flag football, they couldn't raise the money to do it. And I understand you're saying the NFL would take it over.
Yeah.
But the NFL had this 6 years ago where there was momentum. This
really
flag football
team
destroyed NFL players.
Yeah.
So if it didn't work then, why would in 2025 they be able to pull this off?
My only thought is because the Olympics are picking it up and like, then maybe it would get, I don't know, more attention, more love, like whatever. But you're probably...
It was cool to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would make time out of my day at all to be like, oh, I got to watch the Shlomos play the Glicksteins. I don't know.
It was inevitable that we were going to get to
it was gonna happen
that
at some
versus
point.
That, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I would watch it initially and be like, wow, that was fun. And then I would be like, do I need to see it? There's just an element, Kevin, that the pads adds.
Yeah,
nothing else can top.
No, I gotcha. Now, Roger Goodell.
Make them play if they played in pads, but they still flagged it up, you still wouldn't watch it.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's the hitting. Yeah, I'm going to say it's the hitting.
That's a good point.
It's definitely the barbaricisms.
Now,
and what kind of pads are
nope.
they wearing?
Roger Goodell reiterated that the NFL is going to consider adding face mask violations and other penalties to the replay assist system. So, you know how obviously, especially in the playoffs,
oh
it feels like we've seen a ton of face masks, mystery calls or no calls. You're like, the hell? And so he said they might be adding that as well.
Yeah, dude, at some point it's going to be every play.
Yeah.
Every single play they're going to just be like, hey, let's go ahead and review that one. Hey, let's review
this one.
All you
got to do is say it didn't happen, and we can see it on television. Like, it didn't happen. That's what they did with pass interference.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then it's gone.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, on the Cowboys front, they did hire Tyquan Underwood as the assistant wide receivers coach.
Thank you.
David Overstreet and Derek Foster having been hired as the team's secondary cornerbacks coach and running backs coach, respectively.
Where's the Super Bowl next year?
California.
Get your tickets, Cowboy fan.
The next two are in California.
Get your tickets the next 2 years.
Look at that, man.
California is a big state. I think it's Santa Clara and somewhere else.
Heck yeah.
SoFi again?
It's Cowboys time. I just tell the Cowboy fans, save up your money now. Back to back in California for the Cowboys.
To do what?
They train in Oxnard.
To be in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, why not?
Because of all of the problems that we've talked about since the season ended.
So what?
Okay.
They're the Cowboys. It's time.
Okay. It's time.
Okay.
It is time. Mike's right about that. It is time.
Send it all in. Just say it's time.
Okay.
That was what the Rangers did. They went to the World Series 2 years in a row.
That's a good point. Do you feel like the Cowboys have the same?
My favorite slogan in the history of sports was when Banny came here, and I do love Jeff Bannister, was never, ever quit. And that's a saying when you're down by 40 or, like, the odds are so stacked against you. It's over. And everybody, and like, hey, I get it. Just play hard the rest of the time. Don't quit.
You're starting at the bare minimum.
That was a weird one to go with, never, ever quit, the first year of Jeff Bannister. Like, well, why are we starting off with that phrase? Like, let's get it started.
It was his foundation.
They did make the playoffs, and he was manager of the year, I believe, if I have my years right. I just was like, it was just a weird one of like, we're all in. Okay, we know you're not, but it's a good phrase. I just thought never, ever quit was like something that right now maybe the Pittsburgh Pirates should put out.
Australia is going to start hosting NFL games in 2026. Lane Johnson said, I'm definitely not retiring after the Super Bowl. And did you see that Jalen Hurts gave custom Beats headphones to his teammates before the Super Bowl?
When you say custom, did he customize them for each person? Instead of just putting their name on it, did it say something like,
ooh, I thought it was Eagles custom.
Oh, okay, that's still pretty cool.
But last
night on the media night, all the players and coach, 10 of the players and coaches came out, and it was Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni.
Talking about something different.
It's like New Orleans.
The sweatsuits that they have are amazing. They're this like cream color. Yeah,
I know they bring
color.
Them around here. They're like $7,000.
Every single
you
person.
You can buy a car or you can buy the Super Bowl sweatshirt.
Every single person had that on, except for Andy Reid, who was like, I'm wearing slacks and a Hawaiian shirt. That was Andy Reid's right. Like, no, I've been here
Hold on.
Enough
is,
time.
Is Chief Follow
he was like,
the Andy Reid of our station?
Andy he's Reid, like,
hey,
he's like, I'm wearing what I wear,
you dress
whether
sweet.
You like it or not. And that's Andy Reid was like, that's just how I do things.
I think
gotta respect that for
Chief
Andy
Follow, Reid. Are you going to turn the mic on to confirm? Are you the Andy Reid of our station?
I am honored, yes. And I love cheeseburgers just as much as he does.
Oh, my God.
In other ways, I'm the Andy Reid of the station. But I get what you're saying.
At one point, we asked Corey this a few weeks ago, and then at FanFest, some Tolo/Ranger fans were like, what would you have at your burger bar? Because they were so disappointed with Corey's answer. Corey, what was your answer for a burger bar?
I just made
bar?
A regular American burger, you know, like lettuce and tomato and
but
onion.
It didn't mean you had
cheese.
To put all of it on your burger. I was like, you can add other things that you're not going to use, but you make a burger bar for the people.
And he said, no.
Yeah. You just said you love burgers. What would be your burger bar? Like, give us an idea of what the Eric Burger Bar
He's
would
throwing
be.
Throwing a pizza section.
That's a great question. Yeah. Pizza buns, I would say.
Ooh.
If you want to mix that up a little bit.
Okay.
A pizza bun would be strong.
As an option.
Were you a brioche guy?
Yeah, brioche buns. I said
Which
that.
Which are great.
He was like,
yeah, brioche
not
is strong.
That's the only option you
yeah,
get.
That was
He's
it.
Like, there
no other
bun.
No
bun.
Texas toast opportunity.
Yeah. One burger, everybody. Everybody
yeah,
gets
you
one
can
burger.
Make one, you could pretty much make one burger.
It's an assembly line.
The most generic burger of all time.
Actually, I was like, I don't even think you're getting mustard. I think you're like only mayonnaise and ketchup as options.
Oh,
sorry.
That's awful. I love mayonnaise. I dip in ketchup, but I will never put ketchup for whatever reason on my burger. But I love mustard on my burger.
But you're going to have, for your pickles, you're going to have a dill pickle, a sweet pickle, and you're going to have some jalapeno. So there's
just
a choice.
Dill. Just
yes.
dill pickles.
It's all about choices. I would say the fried egg, maybe like a little fried egg area to load a little egg up on there if you
okay,
want to do
so
that.
You are, so you're pro-choice.
Yeah, well... In yes. this, in the burger scenario, yeah.
Just got weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What
this
do you
just
mean?
Got really weird.
For the, what were you
choices
guys
for the burger.
About?
Burger
people.
Choice.
Yeah, choice on eggs.
Yeah.
like a little egg, maybe a grilled onion situation. If you want some avocado slices, you know.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to tariff those in, but we're going to get them.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I saw the Schumer guy.
Politics.
He was like, Corona and avocados. If you didn't know, that green stuff you eat, it comes from this. You're like, do you think we're that stupid? Like, Schumer thinks we're that stupid.
Yeah.
We don't know how guacamole
is made. Glasses on.
We must have a stupid face.
How did they make that green stuff? They use this. It's from Mexico. You're going to see it in the Super Bowl.
So Jalen Hurts didn't help out the person last night.
Those look like cool headphones, by the way.
Okay, yes. Who said, can you help make me more handsome? And he's like, that sounds like a genetics, man. And then Saquon Barkley, Jameis Winston said, hey, who's going to sign me in free agency? And I just thought it was really funny because Saquon goes, I'm pretty sure New York needs a quarterback right now.
Oh, my God.
And then he clarified that he was definitely talking about the Giants.
Giants or the Jets?
The Giants.
Wow.
Would you guys be happy? I understand he's going to cost money, but Dak's going to, I mean, being honest, he's going to miss 4 to 10 games next year. Jameis Winston would be a good backup for you. If you believe you're a winning franchise and you're
fun.
Trying to win.
Dude, you know what show I need? I need the Cooper Manning and Jameis Winston show. Last night, they were hanging out talking, and I was just cracking up because both of those are two different, like completely different cards, but also they're looking to crack jokes, and that was fun.
The dark side stuff was incredible. Cooper Manning's got a great personality. How do all the Mannings have just – how are they all so likable?
I
don't get it.
Have you ever heard the story about how to hype RJ up to go meet Cooper Manning?
During Super Bowl week 1 year? It was
no.
Great.
He was fanboying? He was nervous?
You would have thought that, like, Babe Ruth had come back to life and nobody was talking to him, and RJ's like, this is my shot. He goes, oh, my God, I'm too nervous. He was also really drunk, and he was like, I'm so nervous.
I thought he'd get the height of confidence.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And choppy?
So I hyped him up, but then my favorite part was as soon as he introduced himself, he posted up on one of the pillars, like, this is going to be a long-ass conversation.
Yeah. Get comfortable, Coop.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, we're not going anywhere, all right?
So, I love it, dude.
Amazing.
Thanks for sitting down, Eric. You really got us off the clock again.
Oh, sorry about that, boys.
We're the KNC
I love burgers.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, objections aside, how do AD and Max Christie fit the Mavs from a basketball point of view? Let's do that next right here on The Fan.